When she said, I don't dance now, I make money moves, that was a mission statement for a whole new generation.
Respect, but that's not the Mount Rushmore. Listen, cash rules everything around me. When that line dropped, it changed the whole hustle.
The greatest tracks are never finished. They're just debated forever. Introducing the Sprite Living Tracklist. 50 tracks that shape the culture from 6 decades of hip-hop. Scan the QR code on a Sprite or Sprite Zero Sugar to see the full breakdown. Obey your thirst. Sprite.
This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go here on the bench. And what a day yesterday, huh? Where were you when you found out?
Well, everything Sham started saying, it's intensifying. It became obvious it was going to happen yesterday.
Yeah, because of the we're not good enough.
Yeah, we'll play you some of what Boogie Cousins had to say yesterday. But it was – well, James wasn't lying.
He wasn't incorrect.
But it pissed some people off. It pissed people in the building off because James has been a slap nuts this entire time.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that as well. Boogie Cousins gave us some insight. I had a lot of respect for what Wall and Cousins said and how they said it.
Yeah.
But the big story is that James Harden was traded. I was up here just working on players, but then as soon as James got traded, I mean, it was 2 hours on Twitter and reading up on players. And it was like I didn't get anything, any of my football stuff done because I was just going through all this, setting up guests for today. Jeff Van Gundy's going to join us at 7:15. To talk about this. Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer will join us at 8 o'clock. Dave Hardesty from Clutch Fans is going to be on at 10 o'clock. So we got a busy day with reaction. And we want you to give your reaction as well, because the easy reaction is good. The problem's out of the building. The hard reaction is James is a really, really good player for the Houston Rockets. He allowed them an opportunity to win and compete at a much higher level than before he was here for the first time since, you know, I guess Yao and Tracy, even then they didn't really compete for Western Conference Finals with Yao and Tracy. So there was a lot of things that were really good about what James did, but ultimately I feel like in this, let me stay with the details of the trade. The Houston Rockets are going, so this entire time, John, we've been pining for draft picks, right?
Yep.
They got to rebuild. And one of the things we've seen with Rafael Stone is that he understands that, and he has been working to get draft picks. Now, it's not as easy as just, you know, in basketball, they just don't give away lottery picks and things like that. So it's all relative. But the Houston Rockets, when it's all said and done, end up picking up 4 first-round picks, which was the same rate of return for a Paul George, I guess. It's become kind of the de facto go-to trade rate. They got 4 of Brooklyn's, they've got Brooklyn's 3 unprotected first-round picks in this deal, in 22, 24, and 26. All unprotected, but, you know, you don't know how good that's going to be.
Well, I think it's going to be very good.
It could be. More of that in a little bit. And then they get pick swaps, which means if Brooklyn has a better pick than the Rockets can just flip with them. And why wouldn't they? They would. They would flip with them. They got that in 23, 25, 27. So in the odd years, they get pick swaps, not this year, but in the odd years, they get pick swaps, 23, 25, 27. In the even years, 22, 24, 26, they get their actual picks. And the Rockets get a 2022 first-round pick via Milwaukee. That is actually Cleveland's pick. Is that not Dell? Oh, it's Milwaukee's pick?
Milwaukee's.
That should be a really good pick.
It's from Cleveland through Milwaukee. It's from Milwaukee through Cleveland.
But it's not lottery protected. So if Milwaukee ends up in the lottery this year.
Well, yeah. You ain't got to worry about that.
Feels unlikely.
People didn't think Golden State was going to have the second pick either, did they? No.
No.
What if Chris Middleton and Giannis end up tearing their knees?
And Drew Holiday, they all rip up their knees.
Yeah.
What if that happens?
Yeah. If something, yeah. I mean, there's
something that. Like,
oh,
that
too happened. Bad. We still get your pick. So, look, it's on the surface, you could say, okay, you get Milwaukee's pick and a bunch of Brooklyn Nets picks. But those are two of the favorites in the East. Yeah, but things can change fairly quickly. And James is not young. Kyrie Irving is invisible. Who's the invisible guy from The Boys?
I forgot what his name was, but he wasn't around long.
No, he got his butt exploded.
Oh, yeah. Well. His butt exploded?
Well, there.
Hey, you heard it.
There's a grenade or an explosive put up there. And then,
yeah. They had to explode him from his butt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe that happened with Kyrie. No one's saying at this point
from the Nets organization. Sorry, I missed that.
And then you have Kevin Durant, who, he's coming off of an Achilles tear. So we'll see. The main thing is they at least have an opportunity to start adding younger players into the mix. You get Victor Oladipo, but the problem is Kevin O'Connor, who's going to join us at 8 o'clock, had a report that Oladipo doesn't want to join the Rockets. He doesn't want to be a Houston Rocket. So if that's the case, then maybe the Rockets aren't done dealing. And maybe now, because the Rockets have Victor Oladipo, so now maybe they flip Victor Oladipo.
That's a possibility, because if Victor Oladipo doesn't want to be here, then Victor Oladipo can kick rocks. No one cares about Victor Oladipo.
If you don't want to be here, then beat it.
Beat it.
Except Deshaun.
Yeah, except Deshaun. I mean, everybody else can beat
Everyone else can beat it, but not kick Deshaun. Rocks.
I like kick rocks. That's a nice expression. That's a problem. That's a problem. If Victor Oladipo doesn't want to be here, somehow, some way, you're going to have to match that $21 million that he's making. You got it. You did a nice job bringing in Dante Exum as well. And Victor Oladipo. Oladipo would have been a nice piece, but he's got 1 year left on his deal. He won't re-sign here, more than likely. But you got $40 million. I mean, you took James's $40 million off the books, which is miraculous.
It was a pretty clever way of doing it. Now the problem is you did not get a young cornerstone piece. I mean, Victor Oladipo could be a young guy that you build around, and that's why the three-team trade. But if he doesn't want to be here, that kind of screws some things up, because now what you're looking at is James Harden brought you potentially four late first round picks. And in the world of basketball, that's not awesome value. It looks great on the surface. Yeah. Like, well, you got pick swaps and you got these. But if you just really go after, and there's no telling what will happen with the Nets by 2027. I mean,
2027. 2023.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I mean, James, once again, is not young, but the problem is, you did not get that one really talented player to help you to stick with. You did in Victor Oladipo, but now it looks like you may not have that. And if that's the case, you really wanted somebody to stick next to Christian Wood as the two guys that you really started building around, and that's maybe not going to be the case. So I was okay with the haul. You know, it does look good on paper. It would look a whole lot better if the Nets can go on the toilet.
Does this trade, for anyone who's currently in the Rockets besides Christian Wood, and even his deal is not a long-term deal, I think it's a 3-year deal, does this trade benefit anyone who's on the Rockets right now? And even including Steven Silas, because we were talking about all the draft picks that could come his way. Will he be around to take advantage of the draft picks?
It benefits everyone on the Rockets getting James out
of
there.
I understand that, but as far as winning games.
When winning games, well,
Will anyone who is currently – who joined this team previously or even in this offseason who thought there's a chance to win some games, how long before they benefit from this stuff?
No. John Wall's here a couple of years, and he's not going to win while he's here.
It could benefit John Wall to an extent. Here, the immediate benefit is that everyone's pulling in the same direction. Mm. You have better chemistry, but you're still learning the chemistry. These are all new guys playing with each other. And that takes time to get the chemistry going, but you don't want a poison pill in the midst of trying to develop that chemistry. I mean, that's a lot to weigh on the shoulders of a team. So I think they will enjoy playing ball with each other much more. It may have some benefits on the court. Ultimately, though, you're not a better basketball team. You just got worse as a – you got potentially worse as a basketball team, although you could still see more wins than you would have even if James was here, addition through subtraction. But wins is a relative term. I mean, you're not going to be a good team – but you might be a team that plays together and the chemistry's good and they win some games they wouldn't have otherwise. And I do also think that the money that you're going to have, you do have a chance to rebuild maybe a little more quickly. But if you think about it, no first round picks from the Nets. You have two coming in 2022. So now you're already talking about 2020-2021 season, and then you got to get to the next one, 21-22, before you have those two that are going to be on the books.
Still filling the shop.
And actually, it's going to be three. I think Houston has their own too, right?
I'll look it up. We still have some shockwaves coming from this trade. Another Rocket down. Bruno Caboclo waived. More shockwaves.
Ooh. Bruno Caboclo? That's a big, not really a news story.
It's a shame.
It is. I don't feel great for him. But Victor Oladipo, you go to two All-Star games, and now you call your every shot?
And he hasn't been – and by the way, that second All-Star game was some residual from his first year because he wasn't even good in his second year. He was coming off the injury. He wasn't great. And he said – well, this is – I tweeted yesterday. This is the same guy in the bubble who was approaching other teams going, hey, you got room for me?
Yeah.
After game, hey, you got room for
me? Hey, what's going on there? Let me know.
Yeah.
Call me.
He's been trying to
– call me. I'm out there.
He's been trying to maneuver his way to Miami for a couple years, and Miami's like – we'll wait. We'll see if it happens. We're not going to really give up anything for you. We'll see.
That would be a nice piece for them now.
Yeah. The issue is for the Rockets, lack of leverage. I mean, free agent, so how much can you get for him considering he's played better this year, but he's been injury prone, and there's no guarantee. So even if you didn't want to trade in Miami, you want to trade in some place who would actually give you something, who's giving up anything?
You know, but look at this team, though. Does this look like a team you want to openly go to? It used to be players would just go. Now with players thinking they run the league, and they do. Who wants to? So I can go to John Wall, Cousins, Christian Wood, Eric Gordon. Like, that's just kind of a collection of
some guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fine. I'm going to cheer for them. I think the Houston Rockets just got easier to cheer for.
Oh, yeah. No, I think they're more likable. A lot more likable.
Yeah, we got to break it right here. We'll get more into that with Jeff Van Gundy. Yeah. He's coming up here in just 1 second. I want to tell you about Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. You got some great offers going on right now with cash allowances on the GMC Sierra 1500 pickup truck, the crew cab. It's really an awesome, over $6,000 customer cash allowance, which is a great program that they have going on. And it doesn't stop there. The Chevy Equinox, they've got $5,500 cash allowance. As I mentioned before, this Chevy Silverado crew cab, it is like $5,500 on the cash allowance, and you got $1,000 for this. And then, you know, when it's all said and done, the total amount comes to, I got it right here, over $7,000. Well, you get an extra $750 if you're a current competitive owner. So you can find out about that. If you go to LanceZCars.com, they've got everything there. All the different programs they have available are right there in the opening screen for you to check out. And the great thing is they want your pre-owned vehicle. So if you have a pre-owned vehicle, they are going to offer you more trade-in value for your pre-owned vehicle than pretty much anybody out there. They're in Angleton, but so much of the shopping gets done. It gets started online, and many times people get it done, the entire thing done online. They get the online purchase done, and they will drive the vehicle to you here in Houston if you need. So make sure that you go to LanceZCars.com and get that pickup truck. Start the new year with a brand new pickup truck, a brand new SUV, a crossover with great customer cash allowances available for you. 2020, 2021, all right there at LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet and Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 7:15, ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Dell bringing in the coach, Jeff Van Gundy, joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Just the best basketball analyst in the world. Coach, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good. How's everything?
Man, we are great. Your reaction to the trade?
Well, I think from the Rockets' standpoint, they did as well as they could have. I don't know how they could have done better. you still don't get the magnitude of a great player back like Harden is. But knowing that, I think they get a free look at Oladipo in his contract year, see if they think that's a fit going forward. If not, they play the cap space game. And hopefully for them, you know, New Jersey, I mean, Brooklyn isn't as good as everyone predicts them to be, and so those picks are more valuable. I think Rafael Stone and his front office group did a terrific job.
I'm going to say, John and I, when we heard Rafael Stone, general counsel, was taking over, it was a little perplexing, certainly for Rockets fans. I think it was a big concern. We don't really know anything about the guy. But up to this point, the way he's handled everything, the way he shifted Covington out and was able to free up space for Christian Wood, the way Christian Wood's played, the way he was patient and waited and didn't panic in the Harden deal, I think he's handled this way better than could have been expected for a first-time GM. I mean, this is a lot on your plate, and it would have been very easy to screw some of these things up. And yet, you know, I think everyone mostly has a pretty strong feel about how he's done up to this point.
Agreed. I think you start with the Westbrook situation. You know, they had two, you know, star-type players who demanded to be traded. And I thought him being able to trade for John Wall and get a pick was, again, as good as you could do for Russell Westbrook. And then I think, you know, the Harden thing, and I think he's just done a terrific job, and he's been there a long time, maybe not in front of the camera, but behind the scenes, and he's worked with Daryl and his group, and I think what his group has done over the last 6 weeks has been really impressive, and it gives them hope. It's not the same type of championship hope that they've had in the past, but it is hope. It's a different form of hope, and I think they're well positioned.
Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5. And as I was talking to some people in the front office, Rafael and Eli Wittes have been part of every deal that Daryl has made for a low many years now. So they, while we all think, well, this is, you know, he's new to this, he's been in on all of this stuff since he got here in about 2005. So that's good. What if Oladipo doesn't show up though, Coach? A rumor has it Kevin O'Connor is reporting that he wants to go to Miami. That he doesn't want to be here in Houston.
You know, again, I get the player empowerment, you know, thing that everybody talks about. But that's an abuse of power right there if he decides not to show up. You know, can he get away with not showing up? Sure. But then don't pay him. I do not understand for the life of me why people who sign valid contracts and know the perils of the job, which is being traded, you don't get to pick your workplace in professional sports. You know, James Harden, he worked the system and he got what he wanted. But for the majority of players, they have to go and play where they're supposed to play. And if he doesn't show up, then he doesn't get paid. It's that simple.
Coach, did you hear the comments from DeMarcus Cousins yesterday after practice where he basically, you know, the Rockets basically said, don't come back to practice, James. It had become a really untenable situation. Did you get to hear Cousins' comments at all when he was asked about that?
I did, and I'll tell you what, I don't know Cousins at all. I do know him reputationally, but you know what impressed me most about that is he put his name to it. You know, he didn't leak it out as an anonymous player, as so many people in sports do now. They want to get their say in, but they don't want to put their name to it. Cousins put his name to it, and I was impressed by that. And you rarely see a player not support the behavior of another player. And again, I'm not in, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of their situation, but I was impressed with Cousins putting his name to it. And I think we all have to ask ourselves, you know, and this goes right to how sport is viewed today. I think the media has a lot to do with the problems with players. Like Harden had to be, you know, he's trying to get to a championship team, right? Because we in the media only give credit to those guys who win championships. Previously, in previous decades, Malone and Stockton weren't ridiculed if they didn't win a championship. They were praised for the pursuit of winning a championship. So Harden feels like for his reputation, he's got to get to a championship caliber team. And he wouldn't be able to get to where he wanted to unless he acted poorly. So he acted poorly. He forced the Rockets' hand by his statements after the game and by his play, his, you know, apathetic play during games. And so he forced his way to get his way. And it was just refreshing to see a player like Cousins say what he really felt and put his name to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5. What's James' legacy here, Coach?
Well, see, I don't think the two things should be confused. How he forced his way out, I can understand the Houston fan being disgusted by that. But you cannot diminish what a great, great player he was. You think about it, when he got traded here, he was the sixth man in Oklahoma City. And from game one, when he came here, he was an absolute star. He was a star of stars. One of the greatest scoring threats that we've ever seen in this game. And in many ways, changed the game, whether for better or for worse, however you see it. He changed the course of the direction of the offensive attack in our league. And they won a lot of regular season games. They advanced to a couple Western Conference finals. Was he able to completely get over the hump and win a championship? No, but a lot of great players have not won championships. And a lot of it is due as much to your, not to what your shortcomings were, but who you were playing with and who you were playing against. And in his greatest years, he was going up against an all-time great team in the Golden State Warriors. So his ending here should not diminish what a great, great player he was here, what an incredible trade it was here, and what an incredible period of time it was here for the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets fans just went through a great era of basketball, and unfortunately it didn't end in the manner you would have liked it to, either with a championship or with Harden playing out the rest of his time here. But let's not forget what a great player he is.
You're uniquely positioned because of your, you know, you are a season ticket holder of the Houston Texans, so you're uniquely positioned to answer this. We're faced with existential times here in Houston as sports fans. You had the Harden debacle that eventually played itself out, and now is going to lead to, I think, you know, a bit of a rebuilding process. It may not be a lot of fun, but it's necessary. But then also the Deshaun Watson situation, another guy who's very unhappy with the team. And there are similarities between Harden and Watson, but I think Watson's is more about the direction of the organization, where Harden was simply, he wanted to go try to win a championship. How they deal with their issues with the team, I think is going to define both those guys. We saw how Harden responded. I think it's going to be interesting to see how Deshaun responds moving forward.
Yeah, and I think the two situations, while somewhat similar, are dissimilar in this way. The Rockets in this situation didn't do anything wrong.
No.
Harden just came in. At some point, he became disillusioned with their trajectory as far as winning. But they didn't do anything wrong. In fact, the biggest mistake they may have made was listening to Harden too much about personnel, which can happen. You know, just because you're a great, great player doesn't mean you're an expert on knowing who the right pieces are to fit around you. With Watson, it seems a little bit, from what you read, and I don't know too much, self-inflicted in that they asked for his opinion and then didn't even grant the people that he suggested interviews. That doesn't make sense to me. So I think Watson, they're not going to trade Watson. You know, somebody called me up, another season ticket holder yesterday called me up and said, well, what if Jacksonville offered you the number one, a number one the next year? You know, like he was going through this crazy offer. Maybe that brings him to think about it. But I think at the end of the day, what you go into Watson and say is, hey, I screwed up. I asked you your opinion. I didn't really give your opinion as much thought as I should have. But this guy, Nick Caserio, he's good. He's sound. He's solid. Let's start over again. And I think it'll be fine. He's a great, great player. I don't see how you trade the most important position in sport away once you know you have the right guy.
Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5. Coach, you mentioned Oladipo and not paying him. The Rockets can do that because they don't have any relationship with Victor Oladipo. You don't want to play, you're not going to get paid. Kyrie Irving is another situation in Brooklyn. Dude, you're hoping to win a championship. You just added another piece that you think you've got a chance to win a championship. How do you deal with this Kyrie situation if you're Brooklyn?
Yeah, really challenging. And I don't want to make light of whatever health issues, physical, mental health issues that he may be going through. And personal days on occasion are acceptable. But if I was an owner, I would not want my players mistaking my compassion for weakness. And at some point, personal days, while being granted, should turn into unpaid personal days. Right now, I believe they're paying him through all of this. But I would not see it for at all being wrong by Joe Tsai, the owner of the Nets, to at some point say, listen, I understand you need time. Go ahead, take as much time as you want. But, you know, this will be your last day of pay until you start working again. I think that would be fair. And for whatever reason, owners are very reluctant to do that. They don't want to be thought of as not friendly to players. But there is a fine line between being friendly and enabling. And I think you have to try to strike the right balance. As far as the Nets in general, I understand what they tried to do. I'm not sure that the Harden trade wasn't a little bit of a hedge against Irving's erratic nature. But if they're all three there, I never thought offense was their problem. I thought defense and rebounding were their problem. Or their issue as they started this young season. And I'm not sure necessarily how much better, even as great a player as Harden is, I'm not sure how much better this makes him.
No, it's like going from 101-mile-an-hour fastball to 103-mile-an-hour fastball. The fastball is the fastball. 100. It's not really a problem. But, yeah, I think this is. I think it's going to be curious. And the big personalities and some of the erratic nature of the personalities and It is a little reminiscent of when Clyde and Charles joined Dream. They were fine for a year, but after that, the big alpha personalities really struggled to coexist.
That's why these Nets picks, Coach, when you're talking about 22, 24, 26, and then flipping them in 23, 25, 27, they could be really good because this thing is already falling apart with Kyrie not even showing up. How long is Kevin Durant, how James Harden's only got a couple of years left on his deal before he can opt out? I mean, this could these picks could be very valuable down the road.
There's no doubt. And listen, it is hard for a fan to say, I can't wait to 2026. You know, I think that pick's going to be worth a lot, right? That's so far away, right? But this is what general managers are charged to do. They're charged to try to make the very, very best out of whatever situations they're dealt. And And in this, the seasons go by quickly. And, you know, the Nets, they're all in. They pushed all their chips in. And I think they have some issues still to resolve. Do they have enough good players and shooting around their best players? You know, how do their best players learn to play off the ball? And can they be fulfilled and not frustrated in the sacrifices it's going to take from all three of them? You know, I'm watching Durant last night, and he was the only one on the court. And they were playing against the Knicks, and they're not good. But he was free. You know, the ball was flowing through him on every possession. Well, now cut that in thirds. And are any of the three fulfilled by their role? It's easy in theory to think about sacrifice, but usually what we think about with sacrifice is that's for other people to do. Star players they're not used to sacrificing. Now, Durant did when he played in Golden State, and at the end, he was unfulfilled. So I'm going to be interested to see how this plays out. Do they have enough shooting? What about their inside play? Can DeAndre Jordan play big minutes? Because they also gave up a very good young big in Jared Allen, who I like very much.
Hey, quick question. So I've always, as a team building thing, I've always been intrigued by the concept of the Pistons from early 2000s, because it was an unusual championship build. What they basically did is they took a team full of good players and they played great together. They played defense, and you know, the model has been preached. You've got to have two superstars, and it was three, and now maybe it's just two. And could the Rockets, should they maybe look at building around a non-superstar in Christian Wood and get a collection of good players who play great together, and maybe say, let's try that model and maybe not worry about the trying to get two max dollar, you know, max contract guys and just a bunch of hopefully decent contracts around it?
Well, I mean, the contract of Wall would say, you know, you expect him to be great. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean future. I mean in the future, obviously.
You mean in the future.
Yeah.
Listen, that Pistons build was interesting. They had a bunch of near Hall of Fame players on their team. Chauncey Billups, near Hall of Famer. Rip Hamilton, probably not near Hall of Famer, but very good. Rasheed Wallace, Hall of Fame talent. Ben Wallace, I think, will sneak into the Hall of Fame because of Defensive Player of the Year. So they had a bunch of guys. And
Sean Prince.
Well. Yeah. But, like, you can't go down a level. Like, Christian Wood is intriguing, and I think it looks like it was a very good move. Whether you could build around if he's good enough, or they have enough good pieces. But there are many ways, as you know, Lance, to win. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to follow the path of everybody else, but you do need elite talent to win big in the NBA because of the nature of the playoffs, how it's set up. You know, 4 out of 7, 4 series, you got to get 16 wins. To try to do that without elite talent, see, I would argue the Pistons had elite talent. It was just underappreciated talent.
Okay.
Jeff Van Gundy, the best in the business, and we really appreciate your time, Coach. Thanks for the insight, and let's talk again soon.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Jeff Van Gundy right here on ESPN 97.5. The best. He's the best. There's no question about it. You know who else is the best? And that's my peeps over at Chesnank Ford. Listen. I drove the 2021 F-150. I think I was one of the first people in the city to get it. I got it for a weekend, and it is unbelievable. New 12-inch display screen right there. It's like an iPad that's right there, not the little panel. And they've got every single panel of the new F-150 is redesigned, every single one. You need to use your laptop while you're parking your truck. The new center console folds out into a flat workspace area. Automatically open the tailgate for years. Now you can automatically close it, too. A big job, you want to power your house? Available built-in generator, up to 7,000 kilowatts. hate having your truck into service departments for system updates? Sync 4 now does it over the air. In the fourth quarter, Ford will push over hands-free driving for the first time ever. For the first time ever, Bang & Olufsen partnered exclusively with Ford to design stereo systems for the Lariat and Up models. It is unbelievable. This truck is second to none. If you want to get in now. Put your order in. The new 2021 F-150 at Chastang Ford. You can buy it home or you can get to the dealership on 610 Homestead, not Hempstead. You're looking for the F-150 2021. It's a Chastang Ford.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Me personally, I don't feel betrayed at all. My interest was playing with John Wall, to be brutally honest. And with that being said, the disrespect started way before, you know, any interview. Just the approach to training camp, showing up the way he did, the antics off the court. I mean, the disrespect started way before. So this isn't something that, you know, all of a sudden happened, you know, last night. But with that being said, like I said, this is the nasty part of the business. So it is what it is.
I wonder what players – I mean, not that the play, I don't know that James is – James, a lot of guys are all that down with James anyway, right? And
he's kind of a lone wolf. I mean, he's got his own thing going on. And
yeah.
You know, when I went to Daryl Morey's musical, where three is greater than two, is about a group of tiny, I guess that should have been foreshadowing, is a group of tiny players, kind of like a small lineup, who believe that they're in one of the guys, the whole concept is they're like Lilliputians, and one guy understood that three was greater than two and that they had to embrace math. And it was in anyway, it didn't make it off Broadway. But the Rockets who went the opening night is Michael Lewis came in from Moneyball. Manny from the actor from
Manny Fresh.
No. Manny, the actor from Manny from Modern Family.
Mm-hmm.
He was in, there's a few people in, and then including Chris Paul. It was PJ Tucker who was looking fresh to death. He was PJ.
He can dress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, small forward. Come on. Gangly arm, small forward. Who's here four or five different times?
Who was here four or five different?
Yeah.
Oh, not Ariza.
Trevor Ariza.
Mm-hmm.
Ariza. So it was Ariza. It was Chris Paul and it was PJ Tucker all together.
James didn't show?
He didn't make it. But those guys looked like they were like best friends.
He was busy.
James was shopping.
James was busy. And you can't blame James. He's a busy guy. He's got a lot of things to do.
I get the sense that this is like, who are James's guys on this team? Other than maybe PJ Tucker?
PJ, I guess.
PJ's been pouting and
pouting.
I hope he's pouting. He's playing terribly. I hope it's part of a big pout.
Well, I think that he's just not.
I think he could be next out, by the way.
Yeah, why not? What's he offering right now?
Second.
What's he offering? No, what? Yeah,
but I mean, he might get a second for him, but whatever. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, whatever, PJ. I mean,
PJ has value for another team.
You're mad because they didn't extend you. The dumbest thing that's just this whole basketball generation, football, all of the entitlement and the. And the unrealistic views that they have about this, it's just unbelievable to me. It just really is that you didn't extend me. What? If we wanted to pay you more money over more years, we would do that. But you're mad because we're not extending you. What? Play for your $8 million this year. How's $8 million? You're mad at us because we're giving you $8 million for your 3 points a game? Is that what you're mad about?
It's just out of control. Like, you're showing why they shouldn't extend you.
Yes.
Exhibit A, Your Honor.
I mean,
this is why.
These guys are so unrealistic.
Let the record reflect.
what's being introduced into evidence is tape of PJ Tucker from 2020. Yeah, this is why we're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whew. Thank God we're not doing that, Pete. But PJ has value. He has value on a good team. He does not have value on a bad team.
No.
The things he brings. Great. He took a charge also.
Hey, lost in. I mean, we haven't even ripped the Texans one time today, which is that's embarrassing for us. I know the other station. I mean, I don't even know that they got no James Harden was traded. But here's the deal: is we got that. We got. How about this is overshadowing one great signing by our Houston Astros, and we'll talk about that on the other side.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So what'd you think about the Pedro Baez signing?
Pretty.
I like it.
Yeah, it was solid.
Yeah. No, that's a good move.
Solid. Yeah, you get he's 32 years old. He's been rock solid for last 7 years with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
It's a good arm.
You made the Dodgers weaker.
Yeah, it's a good arm. It's a good arm to add to your bullpen.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, he's your best bullpen guy now.
Still need to know. I don't view him as a – you view him as a closer? I mean, maybe.
He's probably going to have to.
He might have to, yeah. It wouldn't shock me if they have one more. Look our old buddy from Ozark, season 4.
Oh, Eric Layden.
From The Right Stuff on Disney Plus. Right now, you can watch The Right Stuff on Disney Plus.
And Eric Layden's on there?
Uh-huh.
What's his role? Is he a journalist?
He does some astronaut stuff usual.
Does his Bosch role go move into...
No, actually, Eric, you're flying back and forth between filming Bosch and doing Ozark stuff, right?
Yeah, but before we actually do that, I'm with John here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about The Right Stuff on Disney Plus? You obviously watched it to support. Oh, yeah. So tell us a little bit about what's going on right now and what kind of role.
Well, he's talking to Lance. Go ahead, Lance.
Yeah.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
I thought you said John.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm talking to Lance.
He plays an astronaut. No. They're looking at going into space. I don't want to do the spoiler alert.
What do you mean they're looking at going into space?
Well, I think they probably are if they're astronauts. I don't want to give too much away I don't want to do spoiler alert. I mean, I don't want to spoil this because
right.
So it's the story about a group of astronauts.
Yeah,
you say that.
Like which one is he?
I don't want to give that away.
You don't want to give it away.
It's on his IMDb.
Spoiler alert!
It's not a spoiler. It's on IMDb.
No. Okay, then what does it say on there, Dale?
I can tell you, but you should know. You know,
I'm not going to spoil it for people. Listen,
it's not a spoiler.
He's one of the astronauts. I'm not going to tell you who. You got to watch. And then it's a battle to get into space.
A battle?
Well, you're racing the Russians.
A battle. We're in the Cold War now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And so they want to get into...
Not at all.
Maybe, I was thinking
he's Chris Kraft.
And he actually is not...
Shut, John!
And by the way, another spoiler, he doesn't actually play an astronaut.
Yeah. That's why he's a journalist.
Chris Kraft.
He's a journalist in every show now.
No, he's not a journalist in this show.
My question is, the last space show you did, you died. Do you die in this show?
I do not die in the show.
You don't?
Okay. I do not die in the show.
Oh, spoiler alert.
No. You ruined the show for me.
Yeah. Now, I thought you were going to die.
I thought
you
were
die?
Now I know that, you know, when you're fighting Spider-Man or something, that you're actually going to survive.
He doesn't fight Spider-Man.
Eric, you had
He doesn't fight Spider-Man.
Eric, you had a great run as a military character with American Sniper, Six, where you're a SEAL team member. What else? I'm missing another one. Oh, Band of Brothers? Generation Kill, rather.
Dude, I'm going to stop you. I wasn't in Band of Brothers.
Band of Brothers.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Saving Private Ryan, you were that guy who got shot. Right.
Uh-huh. Saving Private Ryan.
You're the guy Vin Diesel shot.
Mm-hmm. Apocalypse Now, he was in that too.
But now you're in as an astronaut. Now you got a pretty good, you're on a little bit of a heater as an astronaut. Do you think they're going to take you serious in Ozark? If you're not an astronaut?
He's going to be an astronaut in Ozark?
He's an astronaut in Ozark.
He's not an astronaut in
this
show.
I'm now starting my run as a chef.
Oh, he's on a chef run now.
I thought he was the new Sean Bean. I thought you were the new Sean Bean, and you would die in every show.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for. I guess not.
I can't tell you whether or not. I can't tell you anything about Ozark.
I know that.
Or I'll be held liable.
All right, okay. Can we just ask you if you have seen the actress who, or have you seen the actress while cameras have been on of the actress who plays Darlene? Snell?
I have not, because after 21 days in Atlanta, I still have not shot one frame of Ozark, because yesterday we shut down again due to COVID reasons.
Wait! You haven't even filmed anything.
You haven't even filmed.
Nope.
He's actually in the airport right now.
I haven't filmed anything. I'm in the airport right now.
Oh, airport going back.
Going back to San Diego. Yeah.
Oh, so y'all shut it down? Yeah, you were just in your hotel.
COVID blows.
That's right.
So we're now. That's delaying the release of season four again.
Season four is a good one. I can definitely tell you that. They are shooting. I just have unfortunately gotten caught in some COVID stoppages, so I have not been shooting.
Oh, damn it!
Yeah,
is Bosch caught in can you film Bosch with LA completely shut down?
Bosch is the only production, to my knowledge, that is actually still shooting, and that's because they wrapped their entire series on Tuesday, so they were so close that they just kept going.
Nice.
Yeah.
Way to go, Bosch.
Production working. Yeah.
Way to go, Bosch.
You can't stop
Bosch.
Herodias Bosch from doing what has to get done.
No, Bosch is going to do what he wants.
He's going to do what he wants to do.
Yeah, it's what he does.
It's the right thing.
It is. So, what'd you think of the Harden deal, Eric?
John, this is what I wanted to call, because I think you guys are insulated in your Houston bubble, and just like as an outsider, I feel like it's time, if you guys don't recognize, that Houston is arguably right now the worst sports city in America. And, you know, you start to look at Houston sports right now with what's happened with the Astros and the feeling about them, with guys who are getting do not want to play for the Rockets, even now Victor Oladipo. I mean, he doesn't want to play. When Victor Oladipo doesn't want to play for the Rockets, and the Texans, who nobody wants to play with, end up becoming more relevant by the day, at what point does Houston, or do you recognize that Houston as a sports city is basically Cincinnati or Cleveland or Toronto or Indiana?
No,
maybe worse.
I was on in Albuquerque yesterday.
Don't let him call us Cincinnati of sports.
Well, no, I was out and they were like, man, you guys got a lot to talk about. And I said, yeah, it all sucks. It all sucks.
We were on Albuquerque. I was on El Paso.
Were you?
Like, the hell are we getting hit up by the?
I don't know.
By El Paso.
But I was like, hey, it sucks. I'd love to be talking about how we're, a game and, you know, the right guard pulling or some kind of, you know, a big three that was hit to win it. Instead, we're talking about drama with the Texans, drama with the Rockets, drama with the Astros and the scandal. I mean, it's like, what the bleep? This sucks. This really, really sucks. When are we going to start winning some games around here and talking about playoffs? I mean, that would be awesome.
Well, that's it. Like, what does it take? I mean, it started with the karma, I guess, of the Astros scandal, and everything went downhill because 3 years ago, Houston looked like one of the best cities in sports. And now, all of a sudden, it has gone from first to worst. So what does it take to turn it around, and which team is going to do it? Because if the Astros, who look to be the most poised to like take the step, right, that possibly could turn around and like make the playoffs, and like they did last year, but they're so hated and everything will be so discounted that it almost doesn't even count.
Yes, it counts. You're an Astros fan too, unless you switched over to the Padres.
I'm an Astros fan. I'm not Padre Eric. Okay, but I'm just telling you that from an outsider's point of view, they're hated. Nobody cares outside of Houston.
We don't care what they like us or not. You know what? That's we're the villains. So what?
We're Patriots South.
Yeah.
We don't care what other people think.
We don't care what anyone thinks about us.
Yeah.
We're basically like
Bill Belichick and the Patriots. We've got titles, and we don't care what you think about us. And yeah, we cheat and deflate the ball sometimes. Yeah. That's the way it is.
Maybe if you stop thinking about what other people care think about you, you'll get on good shows like Lord of the Rings or something.
Deactivate social media so you don't have to care about what people think about you.
Yeah.
You do when you can't get players. You are now a terrible free agent market.
Nah, we disagree with that.
That's so wrong.
We've got so much.
Oh my God! Every NFL player wants to come here now. It's unbelievable.
Everybody wants to play.
Oh, no.
You don't think NFL people want to come get a contract from the Texans?
Laremy Tunsil, highest paid. Deshaun, $40 million. How much you want? J.J. Watt.
How long do you want your contract to be?
Whitney Merciless, $54 million. If they're handing out for that production, $54 million, I want in.
Yeah, but Bill O'Brien is gone now, so some of that, there may not be as much desire to get here.
You don't know that Nick Caserio can't be dumb, too?
I just don't think he is like that. Yeah, Eric, we're well aware that it's not exactly a great time in Houston sports history. We're well aware that in a single calendar year, every head coach and general manager was blown out.
He wants to know who's the next head coach.
Of what?
The Texans.
That's easy. Tell him, John.
It's going to be. Are you kidding? They don't have any idea who the next. How are we supposed to know?
They just requested to talk to Brandon Staley. Rams.
Rams DC.
He's actually one of the hot candidates.
Yeah, he is.
I hear Arthur Smith has a good chance of getting. Doug Peterson's not going to be it at the Jets. Arthur Peterson is.
Arthur Smith.
Or Arthur Smith from the Titans. Their OC is one of the big names over there. Doug Peterson's out there.
If you're a head coach though. Right, there's so many head coaching availabilities in the NFL. If you're a head coach and you're getting interviewed by all these teams, where does Houston fall on the list? It falls pretty far down.
First,
you have Deshaun Watson, but you have no depth. You've got no picks.
Yeah, first, Eric, it falls first.
Much more appealing if Deshaun Watson wants to be in Houston.
Well, it's much more appealing because
this is why I have to call in. You guys are in this insulated bubble.
No, you don't understand it.
It's a bubble of reality.
You don't understand the psychology of it. You know now that the owner is so dumb, he can't interfere in any decisions, okay? So that's where I want to be.
This is a donut.
Okay, you'd rather be in Dallas where the owner makes all the football? How stupid is that? Look how good they are. This owner's not making any decisions because he can't.
He lets other people who don't know what they're doing make them.
Right.
But we're in a reality donut. We're in the middle where it's empty and there's not your bubble. You're inside the other part where the haters are around. You're actually the donut part where that's like.
We're the holes.
Yeah. Yeah. We're like the donut. No, we're not donut holes.
I've called you both holes before.
We've been called
holes. What, Eric?
You don't want to be the donut hole.
Yeah, we're the holes.
You don't want to be the donut hole. See, you guys have got this all wrong. The donut hole is not where you want to be. You want to be the donut.
No, because you're just with a bunch of other haters.
Though? What if it's glazed?
Well, the glazed donut is one of the abominations on our society.
See, Eric, you're a glazed donut.
I didn't call you that,
Eric. Have
fun
with that.
That's what John called you.
Don't worry, he delves in there, too. It's a big haters donut, and y'all are all together.
I don't hate the Texans.
Yes, you do.
They've propped up my team's draft future for multiple years.
He loves it.
I don't hate them.
He has a great appreciation for
it. Yeah, you know how great Tankathon was this year to check out what the Texans are doing? No. Oh, Kiki QT's going to score. No, he's not. Yes! Fumble! I love the Texans.
He's a Dolphins fan, Eric. Yeah. They've got all of our picks for an eternity.
That's right, and Dell is there to keep you guys in check. And just remind you, in the donut hole, that there's a bigger, better world out there.
No, there's no better world than Houston. There's no better world than Houston. You go ahead, Mr. San Diego, fancy San Diego pants. Go ahead. Forget your roots. That's how your Chargers are doing.
Oh, that's right. Your team got stolen from you, Eric.
Yeah, you don't even have a team.
Yeah, he's a Ram fan, maybe.
I haven't
checked. Who's your football team this year? Are you still Rams, or have you switched?
No, I'm not anybody. I'm open for business.
See, he was a Ram when they were in the Super Bowl.
Before that,
he was all in for the
He's
Texans.
A mercenary.
Always wearing Texans hats.
We can't trust you on anything.
Texans jackets, Texans socks, and then he jumped off.
Terrible.
Never owned a piece of Texans merchandise in my life. In fact, I'll tell you what, if the Texans can win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years, I'll come on your show and get a tattoo of the bull, whatever his name is.
Toro.
You want Toro on your body?
Toro, yeah. Deal.
I want it to be a face tattoo.
All right, Del, save that.
No, because
they're probably going to win a Super Bowl next year. Right.
Okay, so if they don't win a Super Bowl, then Lance is getting Toro.
Oh. No, that's not no deal.
A terrible deal.
No deal.
All right, we gotta break it. Eric, appreciate it, man. Eric Layden right here.
All right, I'm out.
On nice ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's give me, givemethevin.com. Just spell it out. You go to givemethevin.com, and you, my friends, are making money on your vehicle. And listen, I don't know what kind of attachment you have to your car. Well, I really want to sell this car to a dealer who's going to give me less. Why? Why would you do that? Well, I'm going to do the deal through my dealership, and it works out all well. John Clay Wolf can do that as well. I mean, so all the taxes and everything else roll into your new payments or whatever, whatever the case may be, you're upside down, whatever the case may be on your vehicle, John Clay Wolf will give you the most for it. It's a vehicle. That's what you want. You want to get the most money you can possibly get. So if you're looking for the best way to sell your car, here's one way. It's givemethevin.com. That's givemethevin.com.
ESPN 97.5.
When she said, I don't dance now, I make money moves, that was a mission statement for a whole new generation.
Respect, but that's not the Mount Rushmore. Listen, cash rules everything around me. When that line dropped, it changed the whole hustle. The greatest tracks are never finished. They're just debated forever. Introducing the Sprite Living Tracklist. 50 tracks that shape the culture from 6 decades of hip-hop. Scan the QR code on a Sprite or Sprite Zero Sugar to see the full breakdown. Obey your thirst. Sprite.